Perfect is impossible, so let's strive for better and betterer. Tune in for inspiration and mini challenges across the 8 dimensions of wellness: emotional, physical, intellectual, spiritual, vocational, financial, environmental, and social. We make wellness fun and attainable so that you can feel awesome and do awesome. And now, your host, Jessica Jake.
Hey, this is Jessica Jake coming to you from lockdown in San Diego. I guess it's not lockdown, it's called shelter in place. And you may know that Jen Sincero is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. So I'm so excited today to be interviewing the one, the only badass yellow button that I purchased on Amazon.com, the Jen Sincero badass button. Okay, here we go.
Do what you love.
Yeah, do what you love. Okay, so yes, it's important to have emotion underlying what you're up to. I also am at the point in my life where I want it to be soul aligned or aligned with something bigger. So love, yes, like something you're passionate about. Inspired would be a more appropriate word for what I want to do. And I've been taking the pressure off myself to like figure out that next thing. What's the next thing I'm supposed to do? Because I tend to just be a workhorse and go, go, go and go down rabbit holes. And I need to do this. And I'm now at the point more where I'm ready to receive that download from whatever you want to call it, source beyond the universe. And that's really the inspiration in spirit, inspired. So I want the mix of love, passion, and inspiration to guide me to what to do next. But yeah, do what you love. Don't do what you hate. I've written so many blog posts about selling out and unselling out, and I finally unsold out, and I'm doing what I love at work. So you by no means need to have a job you hate. Work doesn't need to be something that you hate or dread, or that you teach your kids is a place to resent going. There's a lot of ways to take this. Do what you love. You're so wise, old button, but for sure, do what you love. Don't settle. And if you're in a crappy situation, you could make a plan to get out. Like, I've done it both ways. I've just said, so long, suckers, and left. And then talk about quantum leap growth as I threw myself into, holy crap, what I've thrown myself into by just double middle fingering it out the door. Metaphorically, I didn't really do that. So yeah, it doesn't have to be stop and take the plunge. I'm sure you'll survive if that's what you do, but I didn't tell you to do that. If you're not doing what you love, step one is figure out what you love. Step two is figure out the plan to get you to get out of the what I don't love and into the what I do love. And if you're completely lost, I suggest meditating and looking for that inspiration. Okay, next.
You create your reality.
Oh, yeah, you do. So, funny story. My mom would tell us this. And now you're saying, A, that is not funny. And B, why, Jessica, you're so lucky that that's what your mom would tell you. To which I take a few steps back and I say, picture this, a young child scraped up, bleeding, crying, sucking snot, tears of misery. And mom, here comes mom.
You created this, you know.
So that was my introduction to You Create Your Own Reality. I might do a stand-up comedy about this stuff at some point in my life. Let me know what you think of that idea. But yeah, I'm a scientist, so I understand how our brains are constructing reality in our mind's eye. Deepak calls this realifying. I love that. So if you could imagine taking in all the information from your senses, and we know that we have different neurological states available to us. And when we're in different states, we have access to different parts of our brain, access to different spectrums of emotion, different body systems are turned on. We process hearing differently. So in one, we hear like the human voices, yay, stay and play. And then in another, we hear the crunching predator voices because we're in fight or flight and we're listening to all those sounds of a predator. And sometimes neutral faces appear as threats, and that's determined by our body's physiological state. So our physiological state is a contributor to that mind's eye movie of reality, and so much is going on autopilot behind the scenes. You know, the tiniest things that are not quite emotions down in the lower parts of the brain that are called proto-affect, and then we get to affective circuits, which is the neurochemical mechanisms of emotion. And then from there, we bubble up into full-fledged emotions. And that's where we add the reflective processes to thought. And don't underestimate all that subconscious stuff, but know that it's there. It's there to serve us. It's doing what it thinks it should do to keep us alive, to keep us safe. And our brain as a whole is doing things to keep us safe and to do things so efficiently and use the least energy. So our brains are filling in gaps. They're making bets, taking risks, throwing shit out there, inventing stuff. If you don't believe this, there are so many fun little things I could show you. The first one that pops to mind is from the book Gut Instincts. And you just pull the book forward and back and certain things fall into your blind spot. And then your helpful brain is like, oh, there's a whole bunch of white space in that area. And so I'm just going to fill in the blind spot with white space for you. And you literally see this little cute cartoon get beheaded because your brain is taking a bet for you. And there's so many other cool things that our brains do. People who have lost the ability in their brain to process vision still have blind sight and still can navigate a room and not bump into things or catch a ball because their brain is processing it on the visual sense, but it's just not registering to them. It's just so freaking cool. What other things? Change blindness. That's one you could do a little fun game with, where you're looking at pictures and you can't see the difference because your brain is, again, just doing the best it can. It's constructing this convenient fiction for you, as I don't remember the guy's name who said that, but I love that phrase, a convenient fiction. It's constructing a reality for you. Super, 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 super cool stuff. I'm sorry, Jen, I'm going off and off and off about it. But as you know, my button, you can create your own reality. You could decide. There are 200 million stimuli that I could be paying attention to at this given moment, and my brain is only letting 40 in, because otherwise my head would explode, right? But if I tell my brain, and I've told my brain this, I want to pay attention to positivity triggers, my brain lets that shit in. So we're talking about, we're creating this reality. We have this movie in our mind's eye. I like to think of it as, and again, I didn't make this up, the whirling of the mind stuff. That's all in there. And yeah, so it's that movie, and I might be watching Dog Eat Dog World, the movie, and it's terrible, and there's a lot of blood and growling, and it's horrifying. But I could tell my brain, like, hey, pay attention. This is what I want, right? Even if you forget the name of a song, you tell your brain, like, what the heck is the name of that song? And it just does the work before you. It lets it come up. And same thing happens. You know, you're looking at a car model, and the next thing you know, that's all you see. Like, I was thinking about, should I buy this Impreza that I've been leasing? And next thing you know, my brain's like, here's an Impreza, and there's an Impreza, and there's an Impreza. It's letting that in because that's what it thinks I should see, because it's trying to help me out. So when I told my brain, I want to see these positivity triggers, whoa, everything shifted. It was amazing. And then now that I'm having all these emotions that are helping out my ventral vagus nerve regulate my whole body, I'm in that stay and play physiological, neurological state more and more. So now my immune system's on, and my digestive system's on, and my reproductive system's working well, and I have access to blood's flowing to the brightest, bestest, most socially connected, creative parts of my brain, because my body's trying to help me. It's doing what I asked it to do. So yeah, we create our reality. We're realifying things that we're seeing in our mind's eye. And we could say, like, oh, it's just a crap movie. I'm just not going to worry about it. That's just crap. I understand it's in my mind's eye. Or we could say, like, hey, let's use what I know about mind-body science, because it is an embodied experience. It's not just your brain or mind. Your body itself has some say into this. Like if there are toxins in your body or certain hormones or your brain-gut connection, it's all freaking connected and it's all so cool. So yeah, so that helps you create that reality. And I would say, I know I'm harping on this question. It wasn't even a question. I know I'm harping on this a little bit longer than the first one. I wanted to say that that's all the egoic stuff, right? This, we get entangled in that mind stuff. And when we look and think about, what am I? I know I exist, and that's magical, right? We think about our thinking. We have feelings about our thinking. We feel our feelings. We are aware. We are aware that we're thinking. We're aware of our feelings. And so drop into awareness, and that's where so much magic happens. So amazing to remember that we're aware. And it seems silly because it's always there. We're always aware. And sometimes when people meditate, they try not to think, and they think that's bad, and they think that they need to push those thoughts away. But that's not what meditating is. Like, you just want to tap into that awareness, and thoughts are popping up in that awareness, and feelings are popping up in that awareness. But that beautiful awareness, that essence, that emness is absolutely amazing. There's a Robert Frost poem, and I think it goes like this: we all dance around the ring and suppose, but the secret sits in the center and knows. Awareness doesn't have a center, but let's just play with the constructs we have here, folks. Rediscover that awareness. It's there at all times. So you just got to kind of look at the whirlings of the mind stuff for what they are. And when I meditate, I love it when there are external noises, because I could see them pop into my awareness and see them vanish out of my awareness. And it's the coolest thing. So you're not trying to have 100% quiet or no thoughts, etc. You're just reconnecting to that awareness, and that's the essence of all of us. If you really, really, really want to hear something that's absolutely amazing, again, something that my mom told me that I did not believe, that is the essence of the universe. And I just wrote about this on the blog. It's called What the Fuck Am I? The Deliciousness of Science and Spirit. And I have a video from Peter Russell, and his book From Science to God is absolutely amazing. You don't have to be theistic to like it. You could be anything to like it. So I'll put that in the show notes. Okay, sorry, that one went on. What else you got?
Feed fear a suck it sandwich.
Okay, Jen. So I have to say, all that I just said about emotions coming into your awareness really helps with experience fear. Other things that helped me was, there was a video called Think Fast, Talk Smart. And who did it? I know it was on the Stanford Graduate School of Business YouTube. I'll put the link in there. He talked about greeting your anxiety when you first start to feel those symptoms, and just say, like, this is me being nervous. And you have this rush of neurochemicals, whether you are saying I'm afraid or I'm excited or me being anxious or nervous. So what I would say, and what's helped and what research has also shown, is if you do the third person and say, like, this is Jessica anxious, then that actually helps reduce some of the anxiety. But if I say, this is Jessica excited, then that even more reduces it. So I tend not to do that personally. I don't talk to myself in the third person like that, but it might help you. And it was based on two different studies plus this video that I was just talking about. Super cool. But the other thing is, this is advice from Jen Sincero herself, is thinking about where in the body you're feeling this, putting your hand on it, breathing, and really taking your time here, and then listening to your intuition regarding how to let it out or let it go. And another interesting phrase that we hear all the time is, let it go, let go, let it go. And Michael Taft on his series of non-dual meditations really clarifies this. We grip and we grip and we grip. So when you grip onto it, I'm making a fist with my hand. And he does this in all his videos. He makes really tight fist, gripping, gripping, gripping. Letting go is simply opening your hand. It's no effort. So you're not shoving, you're not pushing. And when it comes to feelings, that's what this means too, is you're not burying your feelings, that you're allowing them and letting them do their thing and pass through. So our brains hate uncertainty. So when we're faced with something that's uncertain, we get fearful. And we just have to remember, if it's something that's worth being fearful about, like trying something new, stepping out of the quote unquote comfort zone, that's what it takes. You know, that's, I've heard this said by many people, so I don't know who to attribute it to. Like, that's the price of admission to get to the next level, right? And just knowing that, yeah, okay, that's okay. I have the sensation of fear, and feeding it that suck it sandwich, being like, well, but we're doing it. I could do this. And if you are into hypnotism, Marissa Peer talks about, you know, just telling yourself, I've got this. I've got this. I have phenomenal coping skills. I cope phenomenally. I'm magnificent at facing unknown situations, whatever it is. Like, just tell yourself that, and tell yourself in repetition, because she says that, you know, that's how that lower part of your brain listens to you. It's just, if you repeat it, that could help feed fear that suck it sandwich. Like, yeah, so what, right? I have fear, so what? That's all I'll say on that, because I would tend to want to ramble off on a whole a whole thing about emotions. What's next?
You are a badass.
Hell yeah, you are a badass. Everyone is a badass. If we get back to that underlying awareness, not underlying, I guess underlying, but it's just literally everywhere. Yeah. Sometimes I like to call it soul energy. I might have said that before. You get back to that essence. Peter Russell was talking about how there's this story of a kid goes off to school. He comes back to his dad, and his dad asks him, did they teach you about what can't be seen, heard, or known, but without which nothing could be seen, heard, or known, or something like that? And the kid's like, no, what are you talking about? And the dad shows him two clay pots and then says, these are two separate clay pots, but if you want to get to the essence of what the pot is, it's clay. And once you know that the essence of the pot is clay, I might have spoiled it by saying they were clay pots. Maybe I was supposed to say there were two pots. Ah! See, that's why you just watch the source video and not listen to my rendition of it. But yeah, so there's two pots. And what's the essence of these pots? And they're made of clay. So the essence is clay, right? And no matter what pot you're looking at, if it's made of clay, its underlying essence is clay. Well, for us, what is that? And he talks all about consciousness and that underlying essence. So we're all badasses. We're all badasses. And anything that tells you not is a construct on top of that fundamental, perfect essence that is your M-ness, AM-ness. So you are a badass. That's right. I agree. Okay, what's next?
You can do it!
Yes, you can do it! So, gosh, everyone quotes this, but it's a good one. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. You can do it. Of course you can do it. When you believe that you can do it, when you believe it, you will see it. You know, everyone says, I'll believe it when I see it, but it's the opposite. You'll see it when you believe it. Again, your brain behind the scenes doing all its automagic stuff is going to show you those possibilities rather than narrow you in. So you'll be in a better physiological state. You will have your brain, the bouncer of your brain that's going to let different things in or out. It's going to let stuff in that's going to help you move forward versus showing you the evidence that you were right. You can't do it. So, yeah, that's awesome. Okay, what else?
Do what you love.
Oh, we did that one. Yeah, okay. So, is there more, or is this random, or is this, let's try another.
You create your reality.
All right, okay. All right, that's right.
Feed fear a suck it.
Yeah.
You are a badass.
Yes, and so are you, my badass Jen Sincero Button. Okay, well, I hope you thought that was fun. This is what happens when you're left to your own devices in a 401 square foot studio apartment during a pandemic. You start interviewing inanimate objects. So, if you are interested in hearing about the paradigm of the universe as a field of being, then maybe it's not so crazy of me to be interviewing a quote-unquote inanimate object after all.
Thanks for listening. Show notes are online at betterandbetterer.com. Find a buddy to try out this episode's challenge. We want to hear how it goes, so hit us up on Instagram at betterandbetterer.